Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1. Text number 22, questions by Vidura. Tasyam chitasyo sannaso manascha. Prito adhagne asitasya vayo. Tam sudasasya gavanguhasya. Yach chada devasya sa asi veve. Tasham. On the bank of the river Sarasvati. Jitasya, the pilgrimage site named Jitta. Ushanasa, the pilgrimage site named Ushana. Manocha, as also of the pilgrimage site named Manu. Prito, that of Prithu. Ata, thereafter. Agne, that of Agni. Asitasya, that of Asita. Vayo, that of Vayu. Tirtham, places of pilgrimages. Sudasasya, of the name Sudas. Gavam, that of Go. Guhasya, that of Guha. Yat, thereupon. Shadha Devasya, of the name Shadha Deva. Sa, Vidura. Asiseve, duly visited and performed the rituals. Translation. On the bank of the river Sarasvati, there were 11 places of pilgrimage, namely Chitta, Ushana, Manu, Pitu, Agni, Asita, Vayu, Sudasa, Go, Guha, and Shadhadev. Vidura visited all of them and duly performed rituals. Text number 23. Anyani cheha drijdeva devai kutani nana itanani vishnu pratyanga mukyankita mandirani yad darshana krishnam anusmaranti. There were also many other temples of various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, established by great sages and demigods. These temples were marked with the chief emblems of the Lord, and they reminded one always of the original Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Human society is divided into four social orders of life and four spiritual divisions, applying to each and every individual person. This system is called Varnashram Dham and has already been discussed in many places in this great literature. The sages, or persons who completely devoted themselves to the spiritual upliftment of the entire human society, were known as Dvijadeva, the best amongst the twice born. The denizens of superior planets, from the moon planet and upwards were known as devas. Both the Dwija devas and the devas always established temples of Lord Vishnu in his various forms, such as Govinda, Madhusudan, Nrisimha, Madhava, Keshava, Narayan, Padmanabha, Parthasarathi, and many others. The Lord expands himself in innumerable forms, but all of them are non-different from one another. Lord Vishnu has four hands, and each hand holds a particular item, either a conch shell, wheel, club, or lotus flower. Of these four emblems, the chakra, or wheel, is the chief. Lord Krishna, being the original Vishnu form, has only one emblem, namely the wheel, and therefore he is sometimes called the chakri. The Lord's chakra is the symbol of the power by which the Lord controls the whole manifestation. The tops of Vishnu temples are marked with the symbol of the wheel so that people may have the chance to see the symbol from a very long distance and at once remember Lord Krishna. The purpose of building very high temples is to give people a chance to see them from a distant place. This system is carried on in India whenever a new temple is constructed, and it appears that it is coming down from a time before recorded history. The foolish propaganda by atheists that temples were constructed only in later days is refuted herein, because Vidura visited these temples at least 5,000 years ago, and the temples of Vishnu were in existence long, long before Vidura visited them. The great sages and demigods never established statues of men or demigods, but they established temples of Vishnu for the benefit of common men, to raise them to the platform of God consciousness. I'll just read this translation again. There were also many other temples of various forms of the Supreme Personality of God in Vishnu, established by great sages and demigods. These temples were marked with the chief emblem of the Lord, and they reminded one always of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So, within this universe, there are many different planetary systems. And, of course, you know, this is not easy for people to understand, that these planetary systems are inhabited by very, very exalted demigods and great sages. And one can elevate oneself to those different planetary systems. Srila Prabhupada giving evidence of you know, to help people understand that, you know, very, very great and powerful personalities can certainly exist on these planetary systems. He sometimes described various yogis that in order to help us to understand that, you know, there are certainly personalities who are fit the characteristics of the, you know, elevated persons on higher planetary systems. Sometimes we see them here in this world, and obviously after they leave this body, they are promoted to, you know, such planetary systems where their very elevated qualities or prowess a common feature of that planetary system. He was describing that in Benares, in his time, he said about 150 years ago, so that's getting on to about 200 years ago, there was a yogi called Trilinga Maharaj. You heard of him?
Yeah.
Very famous. And he was a great yogi who had various mystic perfections. And being a yogi, of course, he was completely off the bodily platform of life. So sometimes at the Naga Babas, he would just walk around naked. And at that time, he was arrested by the government because they considered that they didn't want people walking around, in areas naked. So they locked him up in the prison. And to their, astonishment, he was found wandering around the streets again, naked. And so they locked him up again. Made sure everything was securely locked, and to their astonishment, they found that he was again wandering around the streets naked. And so they locked him up again. But of course, being a yogi, he had the mystic perfection that he could become very small and he'd just, wander out of the jail. Then they understood, this yogi cannot be confined. He has mystic powers whereby he can just become very small and he can escape. Therefore, they just let him wander around naked as he pleased. They had no choice, of course. And Prabhupada also, he described that he saw one yogi who, I forget where he was, but sometimes these yogis, they become part of a circus, and they travel around and do various tricks. I remember when I was in Mahabali Purnam, which is in, what's that? Prabhupada? I haven't heard that one. Prabhupada saw the yogi walking across the water.
Yeah. There's a big attraction.
Okay.
They attract a lot of crowds on the beach bank of the Howrah.
Right.
This yogi walk across the Ganga.
Right, he'd walk across the Ganga. Yeah.
And the comment was that he performed this perfection that for a rupee,
someone was criticizing him. That's right, Prabhupada was telling that story. Yeah. Someone was criticizing him that, what is the use of that mystic perfection? Because for, one rupee we can, pay someone to row us across the Ganga. So you've spent your whole life, for one rupee's worth of perfection. Yeah. I remember I was in Mahabali Purnam and I think it's is that near Madras?
Yeah,
sort of on the coast. Yeah, and a similar sort of a circus came through and they treated us to a show because they understood all the devotees are staying. We were staying in these nice little grass huts on stilts. And, I've never seen, magic performed like these people, there was one person who could, he was swallowing stones. I mean, he started off with some small ones, and then they just got bigger and bigger and bigger. They're just like, it was just, he had a whole bag of stones and rocks. And he just, because each one was, you'd think, oh my God, and then he just pulled out a bigger rock and swallowed, and. People doing things with hoops and things, and you just, they're sort of getting them all tangled up in so many hoops and then, making them one. swallowing swords and, you know, so many different things. But, you know, they had no sleeves. Of course, they really just had the, you know, a cloth around the waist. So it's not like the magicians now. They've got television cameras which cut in and out, you know, and, you know, all sorts of props. They were just there on the beach. No props, no covers, just right out in the open. And they made things disappear and all sorts of things. You know, there's no sleeves, nothing like this. They didn't have sleeves. It's quite unbelievable. But Prabhupada was saying that he saw one yogi, and this is probably where Houdini got his, he must have been inspired. They tied him up, you know, with ropes, you know, bound his arms and bound his legs, you know, like that was enough, you know, I mean, really tight. Then they put him in a bag, you know, and they tied that up. And then they got him in the bag, tied up, and put him in a box, and they locked that up, and then they tied that up, like that. And then in front of everyone, he just was walking around. He'd somehow got out. Like that. Now, usually, you know, the magicians who do all of that, you know, with all their cameras and their tricks and, you know, mirrors and so many things, I mean, you know, that's probably about the best they can do, you know, by faking it. But when they actually undid the box and got out the bag and what have you, he was still in there. Just to make it more interesting. So, Prabhupada also, he had one teacher when he was young, and his teacher told him that, you know, he had a guru who was a yogi. And, you know, he said to his disciple, "What would you like?" And his disciple said, "I'd like some, you know, fresh pomegranates from Afghanistan." And he said, "Yeah, go in the next room, they're there." And he went in, and there was like a branch, you know, like with the leaves and everything, and all the fresh, you know, and pomegranates from Afghanistan, just, you know, still with the dew on them, and, you know, they're just freshly picked like that. So, you know, these you know, very, very elevated yogis, when they leave this world, of course, they reside on heavenly planets where those, you know, mystic perfections, you don't have to practice anything. You literally, when you take birth there, all of those perfections are fully manifest, you know, just automatically, and they can fly and do so many things like that. So, you know, and many of these things, also even there was that story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where that yogi, you know, tried to say that he was God, Vishnu. But even that was reported in the newspaper by the British, that they had even the British reported that, yeah, we saw this yogi, you know, with fire coming from his eyes and, you know, so many different things like that. So, you know, these things are sort of documented. We can understand that there are personalities with great mystic perfections. Therefore, it's not difficult to accept that when we see a sample of that even here, you know, why should there not be, you know, such persons on other planetary systems? That is, it's not too far-fetched. So here it's describing that there are various great demigods and great sages, and some of them actually reside, you know, they reside on other different planetary systems, but they sometimes will establish temples of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are for, you know, especially here on this earthly planetary system, they're for the benefit of people to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. And of course, when we say Vishnu, as Srila Prabhupada says here, the Lord expands himself in innumerable forms, but all of them are non-different from one another. Lord Vishnu has four hands, and each hand holds a particular item, like this. And Lord Krishna, being the original Vishnu form, has only one emblem, namely the wheel, the chakra. And sometimes he's called Chakri. But this is, we've described this before, that many people find difficulty understanding that Krishna is supreme, because in the Vedas it also sometimes says that Vishnu is supreme or Narayan is supreme. But of course the very simple understanding is that Krishna is Narayan. Krishna is Vishnu. These are, he is absolute. These are many different forms of the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the demigods acknowledge this, that above the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Narayan, or Krishna, no one is greater than and no one is equal to that Personality of Godhead. None of the demigods are equal to or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says very clearly that he is the source of all the various demigods. The Vedic mantra that we chant when we perform jagya, or sacrifice to worship the Lord, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasanti Suryo Dviva Chakshur Tatam Tarut Vasova Pandivo Jagadram Sasamindate Vishnu Yad Paramam Padam. That Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, the ultimate, highest worshipable destination is the lotus feet of the Lord, or the supreme abode of the Lord. So this is the Vedic mantra from the Rig Vedas, which we chant to indicate that all Vedic ceremonies, all religious principles are actually performed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Even sometimes other demigods, offered respect, even some worship to some degree within jagyas. According to various jagyas that are being performed, they act as associates or assistants. Just like Agni is there within the jagya, if we light the sacred fire, Agni is there, he performs the function to carry the offerings to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So, they may perform particular aspects, but all of the offering, all of the worship is going to Vishnu, Narayan or Krishna. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that one should always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer homage unto me. And generally people cannot understand that simple instruction, even though here it's describing that the demigods and the sages, they are also doing that. So when the various demigods and great sages, the great personalities and presiding deities of the upper planetary systems, if they're also establishing temples to worship Vishnu, Narayan or Krishna, then they are confirming that statement by Krishna, that one should think of Krishna, become his devotee, worship him, offer homage unto him. They are confirming that. And yet, when people go to the temples established by even various demigods to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, They completely neglect the message that is being sent, that one should worship that supreme Lord, and they consider, no, we can actually worship this demigod, or we can worship this personality, or this yogi, or this, sage like that. Just like it's described, that there is no one equal to or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yet, there are many persons who study commentators on the Bhagavad Gita, such as Aurobindo, I think his name is. Prabhupada was talking about this. He said there's one person who claimed that they say, his followers say, that he has done more than Krishna. And that's what his followers say. Krishna did this, but Aurobindo has done so much more. Therefore, he is greater than Krishna. That's what they actually say. Prabhupada said, I don't want to mention his name, this Aurobindo. On second thought, he wanted everyone to know what a rascal he was. But there's a friend of mine, sort of, who's a professor, a teacher at one of the universities, and the government funds him. He gets, tens of thousands of dollars every year to continue his studies, research into, the Vedas and what have you. And I asked him, who he particularly follows. And he follows Aurobindo. So, the government is funding, tens of thousands of dollars for him to, research into these people and then to teach this into the universities. It shows you, sort of what we're up against. So, but actually, and he was also of the same opinion. Krishna is not very significant. Aurobindo is actually, made much more bigger contribution to, and if you want to understand Vedic authority, you should study him. So these personalities, they misrepresent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they allow people to think that, you can worship various demigods or great powerful personalities, and because ultimately everything is one, they have their Mayavadi philosophy, it doesn't really matter, you'll get to the same path, the same perfection, like this. So this is a big misrepresentation. Actually, those actual great personalities, even the demigods and great sages, are establishing temples of Krishna, plus the great devotees of the Lord, so that we can actually think of Vishnu, Narayan, Krishna. So that is what is being described here. And here it describes that they have the chakri. Now, the chakri especially represents Krishna. Generally, Vishnu may hold, the conch shell, wheel, club, lotus flower. But the chakri especially ruled, is associated with Krishna. We know that Krishna carries the chakra and uses that to kill the demons. And it says here that the Lord's chakra is the symbol of the power by which the Lord controls the whole manifestation. So we understand also that this chakra of the Lord is associated with the time factor as well. And originally, that glance of the Lord is, it contains that, time personified to agitate and set into motion, and to describes here, control the whole material manifestation like that. So, and all of the living entities receive their karma and their fulfill their particular destinies under the power and control of that time factor, which originally is an energy of the Lord coming from the Lord's glance, representing the Lord's Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. The Lord has three principal potencies. Icha, Kriya, Jnana. Icha, His will, which is represented by Durga. She carries out His will. Kriya, potency for everything to manifest into action. And Jnana, everything perfectly organized by the Supreme Intelligence of the Lord. So this time factor, you know, motivates, puts everything into activity under the Supreme Intelligence of the Lord. Like this. So, describing here that the purpose of building very high temples is to give people a chance to see them from a distant place. Not necessarily to get a good view of the beach, because, you know, this here, when this building was originally built, it was, as far as I understand, one of the only buildings, you know, around. It was sort of somewhat isolated and they had a nice view of the beach. But then when the devotees, you know, purchased this property in 1973 or something like that, and they used to have another symbol out there. Might have been, but one night, I think the devotees got up in the middle of the night and put a chakra there or something, and some story in there. Transcendental Adventure. Anyone know that story? You know, there used to be some other symbol there that might have been a cross, because it was a Christian church or something, and the devotees didn't want to disturb the neighbours. So I think in the middle of the night they got up and removed that and put a chakra up there or something. So it's mentioned there in The Great Transcendental Adventure by Corman. But that chakra there, because when one sees that chakra, one can remember the personality of Godhead. And one can think of God. One can think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, you know, these temples, again, they're established to fulfill Krishna's instructions. He wants everyone to always think of Krishna, become His devotee, to worship Him, and offer homage unto Him. And these temples are a place to facilitate that. Sometimes people cannot go to the temple, just like you know, when I was in Jagannath Puri, because there's no way they were going to let me in. And I know there are some devotees, some Westerners, who, you know, put a bit of shoe polish or something on. I don't know what they did, but they managed to sneak in. I've heard of a few. And I think even some Indian people, they don't let in if they can't establish their right. So you've got so they're very strict, you know, like that. You know what Prabhupada said about that? Well, someone asked Prabhupada, you know, why would Jagannath allow that? You know, because it's sort of, you know, there's so many nice devotees around the world and in India. And he said, because of the offence of, they eat fish, some of them, and they mix it with the Jagannath Prasad, you know, for a meal. He said because of that offence, they're being Lord Jagannath is not allowing them to attain the association of so many nice Vaishnavas, you know, and like that. So he was saying something, but. Still, Lord Jagannath has His plan. But we see also that, you know, Sanatana Goswami, he also wasn't allowed in because he had, although born in a very elevated Brahmin family, associating with the Muslims, they were considered then rejected, and he wouldn't even go near, but out of humility, he wouldn't even go near the doors of Jagannath, just in case, you know, one of the pujaris accidentally touched him. He didn't want to subject them because he felt that he was untouchable. And also Haridas Thakur, he also, because he was born in a Muslim family, so there was no way they were going to let him in. And he used to chant, but he could see the chakra. You know, he used to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead and chant His holy name. So. And this is a very important point, because this thinking of Krishna is actually the ultimate goal. If one can think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even one is seeing the temple from a distance due to some circumstances, that person has actually attained the goal. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Jagannath himself, he was so pleased with how Haridas Thakur was doing this. He was always thinking of him. He was becoming his devotee. He was worshipping him. He was offering his homage to him like this. That Jagannath, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, used to come out and personally see Haridas Thakur and embrace him and, you know, bring him prasad like this, because he was thinking of him. Actually, thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is non-different from him. And just like we chant that mantra which describes it, the holy name of the Lord is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many times when Prabhupada was speaking his lectures, he would say, you know, don't think that you have any less facility than Arjuna. If you take the true instructions of the Gita and you serve Krishna and think of him, then Krishna is present. You get the same blessings as Arjuna did. And when he was speaking on Prahlad Maharaj, how Lord Nrisimhadev, you know, touched Prahlad, and he was able to then speak beautiful, you know, transcendental verses to the Lord. And Prabhupada said also that Lord Sri Krishna, he is also touching you, he's dancing on your tongue in the form of the holy name. And because he is absolute, there is no difference between him touching Prahlad and he dancing on your tongue like that. If one is thinking of Krishna nicely as a devotee. So these temples are there to facilitate that everyone can think of Krishna, become his devotee, worship him, offer homage. Because to think of Krishna, the more we become Krishna's devotee, in other words, the more we love Krishna and serve him, the more we can think of him. And therefore, it's not, if you don't become Krishna's devotee, if you don't develop bhakti, your thinking capacity of Krishna is very limited. And the devotees, they're always helping people to be trained up, actually, you know, to learn the process, to be guided, how to, you know, practice bhakti. So people may, think of Krishna to some degree, but then they come to the temple, the devotees can actually give them guidance to develop their bhakti, and then that thinking capacity of Krishna becomes to the point of prema bhakti, where they can think of Krishna under all circumstances. It's like Prahlad Maharaj, you know, that under the most severe circumstances, his attention was fixed because he was a prema bhakti, prema bhakta. And worship him. If one actually develops love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, develops an understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will naturally worship him, not demigods, not sages, not, you know, any other thing. They will naturally worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is lacking, sometimes people mistake bhakti. They think, yes, I have so much bhakti for Krishna. You know, people tell me all the time, you know, some of the guests that come and do their little sermon, oh yes, we are great bhaktis from our generation. You know, we're bhaktis of Durga, we're bhaktis of Shiga, you know, we're bhaktis of, you know, Ganesh, and we're bhaktis of this one. We're great bhaktis. And Sai Baba, Evindo. But, you know, actually bhakti manifests when one exclusively worships Krishna like that, and offer homage. That homage is a very interesting word, you know, that Krishna In the previous verse, here in the ninth chapter, when he's described that, he says, offer obeisances. Now he's actually expanding that understanding, because offering obeisances is an aspect of homage. I was looking it up in the dictionary. These are some of the things there. Flattering attention. Flattering attention is you're glorifying someone giving them a huge amount of attention. Offering tributes, glorification, beautiful prayers, worship, respectful admiration, giving and acting to acknowledge being the eternal servant of that Supreme Lord, and also a ceremony. Homage is also can include performing ceremonies where you officially pledge your allegiance and subservience, just as like we do an initiation. That's actually offering homage, because we're pledging, yes, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am his eternal servant, I pledge that in this initiation ceremony. That's another form of homage and worshipping the deity of the Lord. So if we of course consider someone to be more powerful than Krishna, the Supreme Lord, then that's disrespectful. So you cannot offer homage by being disrespectful. Being respectful and offering allegiance and being subservient, this is recognizing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no one equal to or above him, and we should try to think of him, become his devotee, and worship him. And if we do that, Krishna promises, you do that, you'll come to me without fail. And this is the purpose of the Hare Krishna temples. Or, the temples of Vishnu, Narayan, Krishna, which are established all over the world. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. These ones, they are. He is visiting all the temples of Vishnu, Narayan, or Krishna, like that. And he's not considering, in one sense, one higher or lower. He's approaching these temples. Here is Lord Vishnu. Here's Narayan. They're all Krishna. Krishna is absolute, so we shouldn't, you've got to be careful thinking this one is higher, this one is lower, like that. They are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. The temples may have higher or lower standards, or better or worse training. That's another thing, according to one's, requirements from the temple, that's another thing. But we shouldn't see the deities as being somehow inferior or superior, because they're all the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's mentioned in the Brahma Samhita, that just as, there are many incarnations, Ram, the Sringha, Varaha, but they have just like equal candle power, but one candle is lighting the others, therefore one is the original. There's a distinction there. Apart from that, they're all absolute. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various forms. Just because Krishna doesn't display all his qualities and potencies in the form of Vishnu, doesn't mean that Vishnu is less. But the requirement is different, therefore he's only displaying, Krishna is displaying a certain manifestation of his qualities and potencies as Vishnu. There's no need for him to display other more power. But it doesn't mean that he can't. It's just like, when the gopis were chasing Krishna, trying to, find him, and Krishna hid, and he took a Vishnu form or a Narayan form. Does that mean that when he was hiding from the gopis in his Narayan form, that all of a sudden he lost a quarter of his strength? It's the same Krishna. He has the full potency of Krishna even when he appeared as Narayan. The same person. So he's approaching the temples like that with due respect.
Whether the Krishna's devotees
Devotees, Prabhupada said, I listened to that on the way here, Prabhupada said that devotees are on the same absolute platform as Krishna. And therefore, just as Krishna is good, all good, the devotees are all good. You know, of course, we're talking about, you know, devotees who are on the absolute platform with Krishna, on the train. Just like he gave the example that when Krishna is angry, his absolute, that anger is the same as mercy. When we're angry, we have no mercy. But because Krishna, you know, there's duality. But when Krishna's angry, the mercy is also there. He does what is the best for someone. And at the same time, he's angry. And Prabhupada says, even Narada Muni, or sometimes great devotees, they also curse. But that cursing is also absolute, all good. The mercy is also there. So devotees are on that same, you know, elevated devotees on that same absolute platform. I'll leave it there. Perhaps I'll see you after class, because we've run out of time. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Jai.